Hey everybody, welcome to Girl Gone Frugal again. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, and today's episode is actually a re-recording of an episode that I did earlier this year with a friend of mine who is so gracious and so kind. He was kind enough to re-record it because his was one of the, like, I've been recording podcasts for the whole fall. And I think you and another person, the podcast didn't record. No, there were three out of the whole fall. So everybody, please give a warm welcome, even though he won't hear this because you're listening on, you know, the internet, to my friend Jason Butler from the Butler Journal. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? I hope good.
we're going to assume good. So I'm going to start this interview a little differently by asking you about your Bank of America credit card and when is that going to be done? So Jason, before he even answers, he's on a debt freedom journey like myself, and he's hustling hard. And I'm looking at his website. I'm looking at the bars, okay, showing his progress, and he's rocking it. But I gave him a hard time about this Bank of America credit card because my goal for him as a friend is hopefully to have him get that done before the new year. So anyway, let's talk about that.
Okay. Currently, on the website, the Bank of America credit card says I probably owe about $560-something. As of right now, it's down to $534. In a week and a half from now, it'll be down to zero. So it will be paid out. Yeah, it will be paid off. Very soon. I just got a couple payments from some freelance clients today, actually. So I just need to transfer that money into my account. And then I also get paid for my job next Friday. So it'll be gone very soon, very, very soon. So that post will be up probably at the middle of this month. And I'll probably do an Insta story talking about it, too, on Instagram.
Nice. So you're on this debt freedom journey, and I want, for people who aren't familiar with your story and the Butler Journal, could you talk about how you started this journey, why you're blogging about it, and a little bit about the response to your story from your friends and family?
Okay, perfect. I just started at the beginning. I graduated college in 2008. Basically, it was one of the best days of my life. I was in college for 5.5 years, took out loans, had a couple scholarships, received a Pell Grant. At the time, I figured that I was doing everything right. So instead of, like, really honestly, like, applying for jobs in 2008, I was just focused on graduating and trying to get out of there. Well, something happened. It took me a year and a half to find my first full-time job. And majority of that was because in 2008, the recession happened, so nobody was hardly getting any jobs. I struggled. I had a job in college working part-time at a retail store and a restaurant, so I basically did that for like a year and a half after college. During that time, my loans started to kick back in. Well, 6 months after I graduated, my loans kicked in. I had to start paying on my loans, and I had to make a decision. Either pay on the loans or pay my rent and my student or my cell phone bill. Basically, I decided to pay my rent and my phone bill because, hey, you always need a place to stay, and then B, I need my cell phone to be on because that was going to be the way that I get contacted if I was going to get hired from another job. During this time, late fees and interest fees added up to my loans. Once I got my first full-time job, I was making a little bit more money, but I was still getting used to being out of college, having a roommate, having to pay bills that I didn't have to pay at first. So the struggle kind of lasted for a few years. During that time, more interest and more late fees added to the loans until what happened in 2013. I got another full-time job working with not 2013. This was actually 2011. I actually left where I was living at, moved back home to Atlanta, Georgia, started working at a university, and I was making a little bit more money. But the crazy thing was is that my spending habits and my money habits still weren't that good. So I was putting a little bit of money on there. I was paying a little bit of money on my student loans, but that money was going toward the interest. So the principal wasn't going down. In 2014, I had enough. I figured it was time to get things right. So I started working at my current job, which paid more money. I started making payments on my Sallie Mae student loan, and one of my other loans was still in deferment, but currently I'm making payments on that now too, and they're finally starting to go down. And the reason why I wanted to basically blog about my journey is because it helps keep me focused. Basically, I started reading other financial blogs around 2011, 2012, and I saw a lot of people doing the same thing, talking about their debt journey. Their blog helped keep them accountable. Their readers helped keep them focused. And I figured if they can do it and get out of debt in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, shoot, I could possibly do the same thing. I started my website in 2013. It'll be 4 years old. In March. So
wow.
It's going pretty good. And I officially started my debt repayment plan back in January 2015 after finally getting all my bills caught up, making sure that things were straight and making sure that I had enough money. And let's just say 2017 is going to be a heck of a year because it's about to go down.
Hello. What was it about, you said that you kind of had enough, but what was it that you had enough of in terms of, you know, the debt? Like, what was the trigger? Was there a moment, like a literal, like you went into a store one day and something came up, or were you sitting at the table writing out payments? Like, what really was it that made you just say, I am sick of this?
It was two triggers. The first trigger was that basically at one point I really didn't have enough money to get gas. Like, my credit cards at the time were maxed out. Like, for example, the same Bank of America credit card that I had.
Oh, Lord.
My limit was $4,000 at the time. Basically, what I would do, I would basically pay about $30 on the card, not even 30, maybe 10, to get it down to $39.90. And then from there, with the credit card, when I used the card, I would just fill my tank up full. So basically, the credit card kept going over $4,000 every few weeks when I did that. And that caused me to get some over limit fees. I started looking at that stuff, and I was just like, hold on, Jason, you don't have enough money to pay for gas. You got to keep doing this, and this ain't doing nothing but messing you up, because at that time, the credit cards, the interest rate for that Bank of America credit card was like 24%. So it was ridiculous. That was number one. Number two, the second thing that made me think about it, well, just made me get things focused, was that I tried to get a private loan from a credit union a few years back. And I had previously been able to get a private loan from my other credit union with no problem. I needed this loan to help pay off a couple bills. I went to the credit union, and I was denied. I was like, damn, how about it not? Like, like, my credit ain't that bad, is it? And
they're like, reject it.
Yeah, I was like, wow. And then I actually like signed up for a couple of the online programs like Credit Karma, and I thought that my credit was kind of jacked up. So those two things got me focused and got me serious to paying off this debt.
I want to ask, when you were growing up, did your family talk about money? And if they did, what were the conversations like? Were they positive, negative, stress-filled? Or I'll give you an example. When I was little, my parents divorced, and money was never a positive thing in that we were always struggling, to be honest. And so when I was little, I remember a couple things. I remember when my parents divorced, my dad filed for bankruptcy. Somehow I knew this. I didn't know what it meant, but as I got older, I knew what it meant. But he filed for bankruptcy, and my mom literally, you know, that affected my mom's money. But it also meant that my mom just had me and a white Toyota Corolla. I remember this car, and I was 7. And no education, no nothing, no resources. And she tells me the story of how when I was that age, when they divorced, she needed to go to a job interview. And I'm feeling a little like, whoa. And I had $2 in my piggy bank. And she had to take that money so that we can have the gas for the car. That's like a gallon of gas, maybe. Wow. Like, it was back in the day, it was like 2 gallons. So I feel like that those kind of moments really set some of my money mentality. You know what I mean? And I hope you don't have a story like that. But I'm just saying, like, what when you think about money, what was it attached to? Like, what was the emotion?
Well, since I've gotten older, I realized that I do have a couple situations like that and a couple reasons why I work and do side hustles. Like, kind of like your situation, my parents divorced in, 94. So, 90. They separated in 93, and the divorce was official in 94. So, basically, I was the man of the house since 94. Like, my mother, she opened up bank accounts, well, credit union accounts for me, my brother, and my sister. So we discussed money a little bit, and she did what she could because she worked. When I was younger, I was like, dang, she got money, she rich. But now that I look back, she wasn't rich. She just worked her butt off. And I don't know how I saw this, but one time I saw a child support check that my dad had gave to my mom, and like, hope I ain't speaking too much info, but the check was for $42.
Yeah.
So, and she used to get that check twice a month. So in my mind, I probably was like 13, 14 years old. I'm like, what the hell can a parent do with $84 for 3 kids? Like, that's
right.
Not going to buy nothing.
That ain't going to buy a pair of Nike shoes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what can you do with that? So they divorced because, well, I don't know if this is one of, well, it's probably one of the reasons, but what I can remember is that my dad wouldn't work, and I don't know why, but I guess that stuck with me. Ever since I was a kid, like, I've been wanting to work, because I can remember selling candy in high school, selling calendars, selling CDs, like.
Right.
15, 16, 17, and I've always wanted to work and wanted to have a side hustle, because I don't ever, when I do decide to, like, settle down, have a family, have kids, I don't ever want them to be like, they dad ain't making no money and not working or nothing like that.
Right. So you decide to pay off the debt. What were some of the first steps that you took? Like, what was different this time?
I got current. I got current on everything. When I say everything, like, I had a, besides the student loans, none of my student loans were current. One of them was in deferment, which was good at the time because I didn't have the money to pay it. But on the flip side, it was collecting interest. So that loan was just growing over the years. But I got current with my Sally Mae student loan. I got current with both my credit cards. And also had a loan through my credit union. I got current with that too. After everything got current, I started doing the debt snowball, which Dave Ramsey talks about, and I was able to get some things taken care of. When I started that in January 2015, by August 2015, my credit had jumped up by 168 points.
What?
I had paid off 2 bills by that time. And I had $1,000 saved up, and that was like the most money I had in an emergency account since college. So,
wow,
it was working. It definitely works.
Here's a question: how did you get current on all those? Like, how far behind were you on the debt that you had?
Woo, Sally Mae, I was at least close to 90 days. Probably, I may have even been over 90 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, with the credit cards, it was about 30 to 40 days. My credit union, like the way with that loan, it was I'm about 60 days behind with that.
But what, like, how did you get current? Like, did you just side hustle and focus on one at a time? Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean, because when you're behind like that, that's a lot of extra money that you have to find to get on, to put onto those bills. So I'm just trying to figure out how you even did that part.
Okay, this is what happened. One of my side hustles is selling things on eBay. So December 2014, I had a pretty good month, I had a $200 month off eBay. I was able to use some of that money to put on the bills. And then I had also started working my current job, and I was getting paid monthly. So I was actually making a pretty good, decent amount of money. So within two months, I was able to get current with everything. And that was a blessing right there. That was good.
So let's talk side hustles. First, I want you to share the recent challenge that you did, and the I feel like you guys, are you still doing that challenge, the $1,000?
Let me see. Now we finished the first week in November.
Okay, so just talk about that, and then just talk about side hustles. You can do it in whichever order you feel like, but I mean, side hustles factor predominantly in your process of paying down debt. And so I want you to talk about just how you got into it, the types of side hustles you do, and how do you manage the time? Because time seems to be a big issue for a lot of people. They're like, well, you know, I work, I have kids, I have a dog, I you know, I commute, and, you know, I need to sleep. So just kind of talk about the genesis of all this.
Gotcha. I'll start off with the challenge first. From October 3rd to November 4th, me and a fellow blogger, we did a challenge called the 1K Side Hustle Income Challenge. Basically, the challenge was for anybody to make, we was trying to get people to make extra money. With Christmas coming up and with people in debt, we figured that a couple months before, man, we could get out there and try to make $1,000 via some kind of side hustle. It went pretty good. Like, since I already have freelance clients, I wanted to basically focus on new clients and also on eBay. That's why I was trying to make my $1,000. And then everybody else was working on like different side hustles. The challenge went pretty good. We had about 15 people participate. Out of the 15 people, I want to say six of us made $1,000 that month. So it
nice.
Did good. Yeah, it did very good. And the crazy thing was that challenge, October was my highest income month of the year for side hustling, which was wonderful. It was real good. And I'm probably going to do the challenge again next year. Like, I got to tweak some things, but I got a lot of people hitting me up about it. Like, even after the challenge, I had like a cousin call me and somebody else text me. They was like, Jay, I wanted to do the 1K hustle challenge, but man, I waited too late, man. But if you do it next year, I'm down. So I'm definitely planning on doing that next year. And for the side hustle aspect, I've done several side hustles over the years. Basically, like I stated earlier, I sold calendars in middle school for like a year. I sold CDs, sold candy, and currently right now I have, let's see, three side hustles. Basically, one side hustle is the blog. Make a little bit of money with the blog from ads, sponsored posts, affiliates, and stuff like that. eBay is one of my main side hustles. I love selling stuff. It's fun to me. Selling old tennis shoes, jerseys, coffee mugs. People will buy almost anything. All you got to do is just make sure you take good pictures, put a decent price, and throw it on their site. It'll sell. That month of the side hustle income, I made over $500 off of eBay in just doing it part time. Because I probably spent about 5 or 6 hours a week on eBay. So I'm not really on eBay all that often. Like I check my auctions. I post them on like eBay groups on Facebook. Post them on Twitter. Take new pictures once in a while, and that's it. And then my other side hustle is freelance writing. I started freelancing after the 2015 FinCon if somebody would have told me in January 2015 when I started the debt repayment journey that I'd be freelance writing, I would have told them they're lying. At the time, I had got serious with my blog in 2014, but I still was like not at the point to be like, dang, I could write for somebody and get money. I honestly didn't think my writing was that good, but things done changed. Things changed. Have about 3 or 4 good clients right now, and trying to get some more. So if you're listening and you need a writer, hit me up. No, but seriously, it's going good right now. It's definitely going good, and I'm gonna be freelancing for a while now, trying to go on and get more income to pay off this debt.
You work full time, and you're doing these hustles.
Yes.
The first question I have is, how many hours a week extra are you working? And what is the response from other people in your life about all this activity on your part?
Some people get it, some people don't. The ones that get it, I can respect them. I respect them a lot. Like, I respect all my friends, but I respect them more because they know what I'm trying to do. The ones that don't get it, I can't really worry about that right now. Like, I'm doing what I got to do. And the aspect was like working a full-time job and then doing side hustles, for me, it's not that hard because it's a goal that I need. It's a goal that I want to happen. I want to be debt-free sooner than later. So I figured that I got to sacrifice right now. I'm a night person anyway. So majority of nights of the week, I don't go to sleep. I go to sleep between 12:30 and 1:30 almost every night. Yeah, most of those nights, not most of those nights, I say half those nights, I'm probably doing some blog stuff or some eBay stuff. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I usually get up at 6 o'clock and do some side hustle stuff. Like, I'm currently working on a blog audit. I'm going through 3 years of posts trying to update images, erase posts that don't go with the website anymore, and just also add more information to some of the posts. So get up an extra 30 to 40 minutes those 2 days. And then I also do a lot of work on the weekend. Like Saturday and Sundays from 8 to 12 or 8 to 1, that's my go-to. That's my day to get these blog posts out, get these ideas written down. Like, I look at it like, it's, to me, it's not hard because it's something I need to do. And everybody have time. I don't care what nobody say. If they say they don't have time, they just being lazy. Just got to keep it real. They're being lazy. Like, you always have some kind of time, either before work or after work. You'll have to sacrifice a little sleep, but who cares if you really want that goal bad enough? You'll do what you got to do to get it. Because I look at it like this: like, do I want to write every weekend? No. But it's a sacrifice. It's only temporary. I won't be doing this forever.
Well, you know what I thought about when you said that? Do you want to write every weekend? I was like, do you want to be sending checks to other people every month?
Exactly.
Like, the sooner you get that done, you don't have to do that anymore.
Exactly. And the thing is, I love writing, but some weekends I'm going to chill and watch the games, like watch football or baseball or basketball, something like that. But it is what it is. Like, I gotta do what I gotta do right now, because one thing I learned, like, stuff nothing's handed to you these days. Like, a lot of people want to get out of debt, want extra money, but they don't want to do the work to make it happen.
You got meta on me right there. That's deep. So, you know, one of the things that I love about talking with you about your journey is, I remember meeting you. Did I meet you in 2014 or was it last year?
Last year, 2015.
Okay. So in the time that I've known you, the one thing that I noticed, like, it's striking. Your confidence is shot through the roof. I don't know if you know that, but your confidence, like how you feel about yourself, how you talk about what you're doing, how, like, you're owning your process, like the way that you express yourself, it just, I just can tell a difference. It feels like there was, like, I think sometimes when people are in debt and everything's kind of, it feels like things are spiraling out of control, because it really is. And then once you start to focus and you get that control back, it's like you just, there's a calm, there's a, you know, you're on this path, I'm getting it done. And to me, when I talk to you each time more and more, I'm like, he is in the rhythm. He knows what he needs to do. He does not give a crap about what other people are thinking about what he's up to. He's on a mission, and he's going to get it done.
I got to be focused like that.
You're focused. Like, it's really striking. Like, each time I talk to you, I'm like, he's not even, what is it? He's not conceited. He's convinced, you know? And so I love it, because I think that, so like for me and my journey, I was really motivated. And then when I left my job, what happened was I was really burnt out. Like I my story is a little different in that I suffered really severe burnout. I don't think I realized how bad it was until like recently, and a lot of depression and frustration, excuse me, about just the debt and life, and you know, because it all kind of connects. So for a person who is beginning their journey, where things feel out of control, because typically that's where most people, where a lot of people are, like things are just out of, like things are disorganized. Maybe they've got a bag of papers and bills and they're just like, I don't even want to look at that. What would you say to that person who just finally hit that breaking point? What would you say to them?
They don't beat yourself up. We all humans. We make mistakes, but the thing is that you're alive and you can fix it. Like, straight up, you can fix it, because I neglected my debt for years. Like, my 20s was fun as hell, actually. But like I traveled a lot. I traveled a lot and I had a lot of fun. But I look at how much time I wasted. Like, I could have, if I would have just applied myself a little bit more, I could have paid attention to the debt just a little bit, I probably wouldn't even be in this predicament that I'm in today. But everything happened for a reason, though. It happens for a reason. So if you're at that point where you're fed up and ready to get started, do what you got to do. Write them debts up, start paying little by little. And talk to your debt collectors. Like, there was a time where I used to hang up the phone every time Sally Mae called. And I used to do other stuff, but I'm not going to tell you what I did. But it just was.
You know what? I've been there. I can't even judge you. I've been there. I know.
Yeah. But if they calling, pick up the phone. As long as you got a decent attitude, they'll work with you. Like, they don't have no trust, especially if you don't have no money coming in. They'll work with you a little bit. Like, they will. Yeah.
When you first started, actually, I think that this is a really important point that you bring up, which is when you haven't been speaking with your creditors, reopening that conversation with them, because it can be really frightening, because they're calling you, you feel harassed, you're already feeling guilty. So I might be channeling some of my own personal experiences.
That's all good.
So how did you open up that dialogue when you're just like, what can I promise to these people? I'm broke. So what did you do?
I just manned up one Monday, called Sally Mae, and I told him I was ready to start paying. I was like, I just got a new job, and I want to get this stuff on the go. Like, I've been neglecting y'all for years. I'm tired of it. Like, I just want to make some payments so y'all can stop calling me. they was able to set up we was able to get a program set up. Like, I literally was like, I forget what the name of the program was, but I was like, it got me from being $600 behind to after three $100 payments, it brought everything current.
Wow.
And it just took one phone call. And like, I do auto payments with Sally Mae, just because I want them to know that after years of neglecting and dodging them and doing stupid stuff, that I letting y'all know that I want to pay these loans off. So y'all take this money out every fourth of the month, and
just be done.
Yeah, just be done, because I don't ever need them to be calling me ever again, unless it's like for some freelance work or something like that.
That was awesome. So I'm curious about the freelance writing and what you find so exciting about incorporating that into your hustle. Like, why has that worked out so well?
I think it works out because my voice is a little bit different than everybody's else. I look at things a little different. My dad's story is a little different because I didn't graduate. I graduated with about 30,000 worth of debt, but it ballooned over the years from me not paying it. And I'm traditionally not a writer. Like, my degree is in marketing, but I think that my story and the skills that I have are just getting better and better. So that's why I enjoy the freelance writing so far.
I want to ask something that I think is a really important part of this conversation, which is you're an African-American man writing about money. And as a person of color myself, as a black woman, part of the reason why I've decided to stick with personal finance blogging is it's part of my personal mission to help educate people about money, flaws and all, even with my mistakes. I feel like there are conversations, like generational conversations about money, that we are now creating the platform for. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're building a building, there's like the base. I feel like we're part of that base. And I want you to talk about how it is to be a black guy talking about money, and who's connecting with your story, and how are you helping people who reach out?
You see, well, I think it's being received well from like other people, just different people in general. It's not too many black males out there talking about money like that.
Exactly. Like, that's why I had to ask you.
Yeah, especially like how I'm doing it. I look around at some of the people that's in the industry, and they have, like, some of the black males, they talk about credit. Some of them are, like, with husband and wife teams and stuff like that. And I'm just Jason out here by myself paying off this debt and going through the struggle. I let people know what goes right and what goes wrong. Let them know that they can do it. And I think it goes – I know it's doing good. I've been getting a lot more feedback lately, emails from friends, strangers, tweets, people telling me good luck, because they following my journey, and it's motivating them as well. Like, it's definitely motivating them as well. Like, the crazy thing is that it's crazy. Like, I thought my demographic was gonna be one thing when I started. Like,
things change, don't they?
Yeah, things definitely changed, because I was definitely, of course, trying to help out my younger brothers and sisters, especially like the ones, like I'm from Atlanta, like the real city of Atlanta, like no outskirts, like I'm a city boy, like I'm an area that's pretty tough in Atlanta, and so I just wanted to show people that people from the hood can make it as well, and I was trying to promote and mark, and I thought that was gonna be the demographic. Well, the demographic is women, and pretty sure that I think the age is like 25 to 40 or something like that, which kind of like threw me for a loop. Yeah, it threw me for a loop, because I did a survey, not this year, I did my reader survey last year, and that kind of like shocked me, like literally shocked me, because I was trying to hit college kids and trying to hit us, but other people are getting this information and using it. So I'm down to help whoever right now.
How have you ever considered doing speaking engagements and speaking to? You know, I meant to ask you that before, but I feel
you did ask me that. Yeah. You asked me, a coworker asked me, somebody else asked me.
See, like, because we're trying to tell you something.
Yes, yes, yes. I know. The thing is, I like people, but I just haven't spoken in front of a large group of people pretty much since like college. So I got
to
get back out.
The group has to be large.
Yeah, well, you, good point. You're right. Yeah, you're right about that. It doesn't have to be large. But the crazy thing is that I am having a vision board party in January here in Atlanta, and I'm going to be talking in front of people then. So I guess it's a foot in the right direction, because I do want to incorporate speaking into like.
Could you explain? I love vision boards. I'm like really obsessed with them. So for a guy to talk about this, I think is the coolest thing ever. So what can I throw a vision board party too in Colorado? Because I want people to be like, oh my God, Jason brought it up. I'll be like, I know. But why are you doing this? How do you incorporate your vision board? Because obviously you have one if you throw in a party for it. And has it been working for you?
Okay. I found out about vision boards. I don't know. I can't remember exactly where I found out about it at. I think it probably was The Secret or something like that. I made my first vision board late 2010, early 2011. And no lie, 10 things came to pass on that vision board.
Oh, hell no.
Yep. And basically, let me discuss what a vision board is. A vision board is basically like a poster board where you put things that you want to happen in your life. Like you can put money amounts if you want to. You can put web page views, trips if you want to get a better relationship with the Lord, investment stuff, just different types of stuff on there. And 10 things came to pass from my 2010, 2011 vision board. I've been hooked
ever
since.
Can I ask what they were? A couple of them?
Yeah. Let me see. I'm trying to see the ones that I can remember, because I, like a dummy, I threw that board away.
What?
Let's see. Yeah. I guess because since that stuff happened, I wanted to be like, let me focus on something else. But in hindsight,
that makes sense.
Yep. But what I can remember off that board, I was able to get a laptop. I was able to move back to Atlanta. I was able to get a better full-time job. I started side hustling. I got my passport. Let's see. What else? I can't remember what else happened on that one. But I can tell you what happened from my 2014 vision board. I'm actually looking at it right now.
Okay, I want to know.
Well, it's actually 2015. I'm sorry about that. But I was able to – my website got more views. I was able to get some brown dress shoes. It was actually exactly like the ones that's on here. My debt's been reduced. I've made an extra $1,000 per month. I won an iPad. I had a chance to go to a whiskey tasting, and the crazy thing is, it's the same brand of whiskey that's on my paper. Yeah, on the board. Let's see. I also was able to get more eBay sales, and was able to travel a little bit more this year. And I have one more trip coming up, but I ain't going to tell y'all about that yet.
No, don't tell us. Keep it under wraps.
Yep.
Wow.
And since then, I've been hooked. I've been hooked with the vision boards. And the thing is, you have to put the vision board, like, up somewhere so that you can see it, because you see it, it triggers your subconscious into keeping that focus going, and you'll achieve your goals or achieve majority of the things on the vision board quicker.
I think that we're about to wrap this interview up, because I could keep talking to you forever, because I just love this story. There's so much going on. I say this to all of my interviewees because they're all really interesting, but really you're also a friend, so I could literally talk to you forever.
Definitely.
What is your hope for next year? Like, what's your goal? Like, what are one or two or three of your goals? And we could talk professional, financial, or a little bit of both that you're going to focus on for the next year.
For the next year? I'm just going to go on and put it out there. I want to have at least $20,000 worth of debt paid off.
Boom.
That's a hell of a goal. Like, and I really want that to happen next year. If you can, 20 is the low end. I've already did the math, so I know what I got to do. That's one of the goals. Second goal, I have an amount that I want to make with – not a make, but I have an amount of page views that I want to get each per month with the website. So I'm working on some, since I work at a school, I'll be having 2 weeks off very soon for Christmas break and for New Year's. I'm going to work on some strategies during that time to try to get those page views up. And then I also want to start a course. My plan was to get the course out towards the end of this year, the beginning of the next year, but I'm going to push it back because I want to make sure this is 100% legit before I just up and throw it out there. Another goal too, my fourth goal. One of the side hustles that I do is create T-shirts. I want my T-shirts to sell even more next year. Like, I've had 3 shirts tipped this year, and basically tip means that I sell enough of the shirts for them to go into production. I did that 3 times this year. I want to have that happen at least 6 times next year.
I am so excited to watch your journey. I am 100% convinced that at this time next year, we're going to be talking about how you've surpassed your goals. I feel like you're a wonderful example of vision, hard work, focus, and just forgiving yourself for your mistakes. You did what you did based on the knowledge that you had. And yes. for listeners who are feeling like it's not possible to do the things that they're dreaming of doing, to be debt free, how do you imagine debt freedom to be? What would you say to them? Like, what is it that you do so that it's real to you? Like, this notion that you would owe no money to anyone. Like, how do you keep that fire going?
Well, see, because the thing is, for me, my love of travel is so deep that I'm just waiting for that day where I can just travel whenever I want to without having to worry about giving Sally Mae or giving Make of America this money. Like, and I know it's going to happen sooner or later. And then also, I want to give back. Like, I haven't did as much community service as I could have done, but I know that I want to do that. Like, I have a community service goal that I want to do next year, but I'll tell you about that a little bit later. But
right.
I want to be able to give back to people, like, in a few ways. And I know, shoot, giving my money to collectors, I can't do that right now. So those are two things that that keep me motivated. And then the third thing, shoot, my family. Like, I kind of want to be that person to start focusing on generational wealth with the family. Want to be able to help some of them get out of debt and help my family get our finances on track, because, like, I ain't saying that our family's finances are the worst, but in my opinion, it could definitely be a lot better. You just got to just take some time to focus and get on it and get to working on it.
Do you talk to your parents about, like, what you're doing? Like, does your mom know what the hell you're doing? Like, my mom has no idea. I try to talk to her about it. She's super intelligent. She has all these degrees. She does not want to hear what I'm saying.
I think she knows. Now, when the last time she read it? Now, that's a question. When the last time she checked it out? That's a question. Because they, like, my mom and my aunt, they know, but I'm not sure. My mom, I know my mom ain't subscribed to the site.
Right.
But yeah, but
my
mom's
never seen my website.
Wow. Like, she my mom's seen it a couple of times, but I don't even know if she's seen it this year. Now, as far as, like, other family members, like, I got a couple cousins that subscribe that show love all the time. And I respect them. I love them for that. But it's all good. Everybody not going to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Everybody not going to support or check everything out like you want them to. But it's all good. Like, it's
oh, my God.
Good.
I just had an image of you. Don't laugh. But no, you can laugh. I just had this image of you getting an award. And you're like, and I just bought my mom's a house. Yeah, like,
that's the best image ever.
Yeah. I'm like really geeked up.
Yeah, I like that image too. I need to put that on the vision board.
Put it on the board.
For real.
So everyone, I'm so happy. I had such a great time talking with Jason. I hope you guys learned a lot, got motivated, inspired. Jason, if you could please share your website and social media so that people can find you.
Okay, perfect. The website is TheButlerJournal.com, You guys can follow me on Twitter at Butler_Journal. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/TheButlerJournal. What else? What else do I have? Instagram.
You have Insta?
JasonButler.7. And on Periscope, Butler_Journal.